Dearly beloved, welcome to another episode of the Seven Slot Society podcast, the off-road lifestyle podcast that absolutely nobody asked for. Today, I'm here with one of the kindest, most genuine humans that I've ever met in my entire fucking life, and the psychoist of cupcakes, Kate Atkinson. Kate, thank you so much for agreeing to be part of the shenanigans, and welcome.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Can you give the folks a quick lowdown on who you are, where you're from, and what you do?
Okay. My name's Kate. I am from Houston, Texas, but I live in Southern Maryland. I guess you could say DC metro area, but not really. And I'm an aerospace engineer. I work for the Navy and I do Jeep things pretty much all the time when I'm not working.
Yes, you do. And you have like the, if I was to look at you and imagine like, what kind of job does she have? That would not be the first job that I would think of. That's ridiculous.
So what would you pick?
Oh, I have no idea. Absolutely no idea. But when you said that, the first time I heard that, I was like, wait, what the fuck? That's pretty fucking awesome. But for a little context, since most of the people listening to this probably don't know that we've known each other for a while, do you remember when we met? Because I remember counting votes with you at a Garden State Jeep event. I don't remember the year. I remember seeing you at a Crawling for Cops vendor show. We were across the way from each other. And then we worked one or two women's wheeling day events. And I don't remember when any of that was.
Well, so lucky for you, I have an excellent memory. And that was all back in 2017. And I remember this clearly because it was the last time I was ever wheeling, unfortunately.
Oh, no.
Right. So yes, that was 2017. We were across from each other at Crawling for Cops. Mm-hmm. And then later on was the Garden State Jeeps event up in New Jersey. We both drove a million hours, right? Or however long it is for us, for like 5 hour drive.
Exactly.
To be up there to support that.
Right.
And then I think it was only like a week or two later was Women's Wheeling Day.
Okay.
Yep.
I could have sworn that was spread out over like 2 or 3 years.
No, our friendship happened so fast.
All right, so let's get into the nitty gritty. How did you get into the Jeep scene? Is this Kermie? Is that the name?
Yeah, it is. But I will be really clear. I'm not one of those people that's super into naming Jeeps. It was a name that kind of came about and it stuck. But I just, especially now that I have two, which I don't know if we're going to end up talking about that, but
oh, shit. Now that I have two Jeeps. I completely forgot about that. That is not in my notes. we will talk about that.
So now we just sort of call it the two-door and the four-door, or the JK and the JKU, or the JK and the minivan, or something along those lines. So, but yes, I had a lot of people call it. It was, yes. It was my first Wrangler, at least.
Okay.
Question. Okay, so my first car that I had like all on my own was a 1993 Grand Cherokee.
Okay.
And it was green.
Nice.
And I think it was a compromise with my family at the time because I really wanted a Wrangler and they said, no, that's unsafe. You can't have that.
Right.
And so a Grand Cherokee was the way we went.
Okay.
And then later in life, I got another Grand Cherokee. And it was sort of like I was trying to scratch this itch of like I really wanted a Wrangler, but I didn't even know then what it was all about or what I was really getting myself into. Was that it was just that I wanted one. And then in 2012 was when I got my JK and I bought it new. And then it kind of all went downhill from there, I guess you could say.
Doesn't it always though? So what can you give me like a little build progression in stages? Like, did you keep it stock for a while? Did you go straight to tons of 40s? I know the answer to this question, but
yes. So there were definitely phases. And there's actually a little bit of a funny story that goes along with that.
Okay.
But so initially it was just very small modifications, cosmetic things, powder coating the wheels. There was always like an intent that it was going to get built. But my first inclination was to do 35s because I thought, okay, well, that's reasonable. It seems, you know, not that big of a deal. Go to 35s, put a small amount of lift on it.
Right.
But when I was advised by people that knew more than me to consider going direct to the end point, whatever that was, you know, whether that was 37s or 40s, because they said, hey, you'll spend so much less money. you'll be happier in the end. Mm-hmm. And when I was told the number of modifications that you would need in order to run 37s, I broke down into tears.
Oh, no shit.
Because I didn't even understand what all those things meant. And so to put that in context of like 2012 compared to at least what you know of me now, mm-hmm. when someone told me that I was going to need new drive shafts and this much lift, and what about high steer or what about hydro assist? I did not know what those things meant at all. So it was terrifying to me. Of course, you know, compared to what I can talk about today in regards to my Jeep, that's just, anyway, that's a whole other story. So there was the 35s and the 2.5-inch lift. Mm-hmm. I believe I ran it that way for a year. Okay. After that, a year later, I went to 37s, kept the 2.5-inch lift, but regeared, which we did on our own here at our house. And then the following year, I went to a 3.5-inch lift and ran that for, I'm trying to do mental math now, ran that for a couple years though. Mm-hmm. But it was that way for a while until 2017, where it went down for major surgery.
Right. So from when you bought it off the lot, how long did it take until like your first heavy modification? I guess that would be the lift, would probably have been the first biggest one you did, right?
Yeah, I guess maybe it was more than that. It was more like 8 months, maybe. Okay. I think I want to say I did that like in the springtime.
Okay, so still pretty fast, you know, thinking that most people will keep theirs for 2 or 3 years before even touching it.
Yeah, no, it was. It was quick.
Right. So you knew what you wanted basically when you drove off the lot. You know what it wanted to be like. So real quick, before I forget, that whole build it the way you want it to be in the end, is that something that you would suggest to other people?
No, not necessarily. And I will say that from my perspective, if I could go back in time, I would not do it differently. Because to go from that girl that cried about what was a drive shaft or what is regearing or what is hydro assist, mm-hmm. to the person that I was by the time I got to 37, to the person that I am now, I can't put a price on what I've learned and how I've grown as a person. Right. So, but that's me. And that was the evolution that I needed to go through in order to be where I am today. Mm-hmm. And so I always tell people, like, I wouldn't trade that at all. But if you've done it before, if you've done some of those things, or you have a lot of confidence in what it takes. And I think, one of the things I always talk about with people too is the driver mod. I became a different driver. That is your number one mod that you need to do to yourself. If you've never driven off road and you don't know how to do that, learn how to do that. Mm-hmm. There, the people that I see taking their stock Jeeps out there and learning what their stock Jeeps are capable of, mm-hmm. are they the most annoying people on the trail? Sometimes, but they're the people that are going to grow the most because they're going to learn. Yeah. So it depends. There's no universal answer to that. I think it's just where you are in what you want to get out of it. You also don't want to be that person that buys the brand new Jeep and goes to tons and 40s and takes it off road and you have no idea what you're doing.
Exactly.
And you have more Jeep than you know how to handle.
Yeah. I think
that's just my opinion.
Right. It might be a little venturing into dangerous, I think, when you have a brand new Jeep. Like you said, it's a driver mod. Maybe they've come from a driving background, but I think it does people a huge disservice if they're going to continue in, you know, this area of Jeeps to go that way. But that's my opinion. I know you're a very calculated person. You do like spreadsheets and you think things through and you're not one to rush. So your Jeep in its current form, did you have that plan from when you pulled it into the garage? Actually, hold on. I think we should back up a little bit because I don't have a video here, so people don't know. If they haven't looked at your Instagram, what is your Jeep sitting at right now? If you can give me just a quick over the top build list.
Okay, so currently it is on 1-ton axles. It's got Fusion 4x4, Kingpin 60 front and 60 rear. I have 16-inch ORI struts, which is the suspension. Mm-hmm. It is a custom 3-link front and four-link double triangulated rear, 40-inch Maxxis Trepidor stickies. And there's a million other things, but, you know.
Yes, there absolutely is. We'll get into that. So with that said, now that people have a little bit of basis, was that what you planned on when you pulled it into the garage and started cutting shit off?
Yes. So this was Christmas time in 2017, and I distinctly remember, and I still believe that I have them, there were about three or four blank white pieces of paper, and it had sort of either or options on it. It said, you know, custom this or buy this, or stickies or street tires, not street tires, but, you know, street compatible tires in it. And it was this, it was written in huge black marker. And we went through and I made the decision of like, yes, I pick this. Yes, I pick this. And I didn't even have to justify them at the time. In retrospect, maybe I should have in my mind a little bit more about like why I was choosing those things, because some of it was just sort of an emotional, like, Kate wants this, Kate wants that.
Right.
So that's how those decisions were made. But yeah, I mean, I think in general, that list was followed through with.
That's really impressive and just speaks to the kind of person that you are. You make a plan and you execute on the plan. Nothing I've ever done has ever gone like that. And it's pretty embarrassing.
Well, I'm not saying it's always a good thing. There is sometimes backing up. There have been plenty of things where we have gone, wait a minute, let's back up and rethink how we did this. And there's also the statement of there's no work that I hate more than rework. It sucks to do something and get super far through the process and then say, oh, well, no, we want to change that all over again. Right. And when you're doing stuff yourself, that amount of time wasted, you can't get that back.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You just have to sit there and be like, well, fuck.
Yep.
So that kind of actually goes into one of my other questions. What has been the largest hurdle so far? I know you guys had a little issue with the steering you had to rework a couple times. Is that right?
We did. Looking back, I don't know that was the biggest hurdle, and maybe this kind of, so I'm going to answer the question probably in a way that you may not expect, but instead of me saying like, what do I think was the hardest part or the biggest hurdle? One of the things that has been the biggest struggle with this build, and I'm not saying this to insult anybody, but dealing with companies has been excruciating. Getting parts has been one of the major players in the ability to move forward.
Really?
And that's been consistent. Like it's been consistent across the board, regardless of what part you're talking about. So I say that, but it absolutely isn't universal. There have been fantastic companies that I have worked with that have had exceptional customer service.
Right.
But anytime that you hit one or two that aren't like that, it really slows things down and creates a major headache in the process. So
is it just,
I guess that's maybe my pet peeve about the project.
Oh, for sure. Is it just because it's so far into the realm of custom, or is this off the shelf stuff, or is it just the companies? We won't go into names. I'm not about that.
Sure. Yeah, no, I'm not trying to throw anybody under the bus, but I think that it is a little bit about that, about it being custom. It's sort of like if the company you're ordering from is a little bit like AutoZone, where you call them and you say, hey, I need this widget. And I tell them it's for a custom Jeep. Uh-huh. And they say, oh, well, what kind of Jeep? And I say, well, it's a JK, but it's custom.
Right.
Oh, well, that's not going to work for a JK. And I'm like, well, okay, but it's only sort of a JK. You know, so I think that's...
Two-wheel drive or four-wheel drive?
Exactly. Right. So, oh, well, we've never had anybody ask for that for a Jeep before. Well, it's still what I need.
Right, just give me the fucking part.
Right. Just give it to me.
Yeah.
I know that you have it. Just give me the thing. So there have been some frustrations like that. Certainly from an engineering and design standpoint, there have been a lot of difficult parts of the project, but that one, for some reason, gets under my skin.
Oh, I would imagine. Just it's frustrating and fucking annoying. So I know you don't have like a full tooling and machine shop in your garage, but how much have you guys been doing yourself versus having the custom parts made? Because you've been doing, like, I would say from my point of view, like 70 to 90% of everything yourself.
Yep, and that is accurate. And so if I am remembering correctly, the only things that I really outsourced were the axles, mm-hmm. which I purchased. Now, they came with no brackets or anything, so right. setting up all of the suspension, whatever, that was all on me. But, you know, I know a lot of people love the junkyard 110 swaps, whatever. I mm-hmm. knew that this project was going to be a monster, so mm-hmm. I had no desire to also add in the difficulty of doing axles on top of that.
Right.
So those were purchased outright. Mm-hmm. The fuel cell, while being custom in terms of the design and everything, that was outsourced to somebody else that builds race spec fuel cells, which is not something I'm capable of building.
Right.
So other than that, I mean, certainly components are purchased. It's not like we manufactured our own steering box, you know? So,
right, yeah.
So like there are components that are purchased, but beyond that, you know, if we needed a tube bent, we bought our own tubing bender. If we needed, you know, little brackets and well, now brackets I purchased for the most part, but right. sometimes like little small things. I mean, we did a custom back half on the frame. Mm-hmm. We didn't purchase that from anybody. So that was just buying tube and figuring it out.
Wow, that wasn't a kit. That I didn't know.
No. Okay. Yeah. Quite a bit of it. It's hard to put a percentage, but you're in the right range.
Right. So real quick to touch on the axles, would you say that buying them versus building them, because you've built this ridiculous Jeep, you're clearly capable of putting together some junkyard axles. Would you say that falls into the time versus money type of thing?
Well, I'm going to a little bit play my Fusion card here and say that, like, this is something I truly believe in.
No, absolutely.
I wouldn't have
you on this podcast if I thought you were just trying to hawk parts.
Yeah, no, I'm not. But I like, okay, so maybe I'll give a little bit of background. I am closely involved with Fusion 4x4. Mm-hmm. I run a good portion of their social media. Mm-hmm. I help answer tech questions. I help with sales. I'm kind of their, you know, jack of all trades in terms of helping wherever they need it. So, right. So from the perspective of being on social media or being involved in the forums and whatnot, there are a lot of problems with junkyard axles. There are a lot of reasons why those are not a great fit for JKs, mm-hmm. And especially JLs now too, that those have come out. They have a lot of drawbacks, things that just don't fit quite right or don't work. Or we have plenty of customers that come to us and say, oh man, with the amount of money and time I invested in having done these axles, I should have just bought yours. And that was a little bit so I already had that notion in my head. Like, I don't want to spend a bunch of time on something that in the end is not really the right fit for my Jeep.
Right.
And I know there's going to be all these one ton or these junkyard axle guys that are going to say, but I saved so much money. Axles are awesome.
Of course.
You know, that's cool. I'm glad you like them. It's not for everybody.
Right.
So that's just my opinion on it.
Yeah.
There are plenty of really cool axle options that you can build yourself a little bit more easily, mm-hmm. Like fabricated 9-inch axles and whatnot, where you just sort of order the center section that you drop in,
right.
The third member. So yeah, there are options like that that I think that we probably could have done ourselves and been really happy with. But mm-hmm. I'm also happy to have an axle that has a warranty. So there's that.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. Yeah. Different things work for different people. And I'm sure I'm going to get comments on this post. Oh, I can build a set of one ton axles for $1,500.
Right. Yep. Yeah. Yep. And if you can, more power to you.
Exactly. Yeah. That's my thing. And you and I have talked about this social media thing time and time again. Like, if that's your thing, then okay. But you don't have to be a fucking dick about it online.
Right.
Just like keep scrolling.
Yeah.
It's absolutely ridiculous. We're going to get to that, though. We're absolutely going to get to that. So I know my favorite feature of this build, but so mine is that comp cut you did in the rear is so fucking beautiful. I know the whole Jeep is just this amazing amalgamation of time and money and parts and craftsmanship, but I cannot get over that comp cut in the rear. It's ridiculous, and I'm absolutely in love with it. It looks so
I am
perfect.
Too.
I thought you were just going to leave it like aluminum or brushed, whatever it was in the rear, but you actually color matched it and I just lost it. I was like, this is the fucking best thing I've ever seen. But what's your favorite feature of this build?
Oh man.
Or maybe like your top three. Let's do top three.
Oh, that is really tough. I am not even sure I'm capable of answering that question. Because, I'm going to give you the dumbest answer.
Is it the silver ORIs? Because that's also my favorite.
No, it's going to be worse than that.
All right, let's hear it.
Okay. And if you ever asked me, you know, like, what's your number one mod? What's your favorite thing? And it has nothing to do with this build.
Uh-huh.
God, I love Mopar half doors. I love them.
I cannot hate you for that.
It's like every Jeep should have just had those. I'm going to end up with a collection of full doors of, you know, because they're coming off the other Jeep too. Because right. It's just, I mean, half doors is where it's at. So anyway, the most ridiculous question ever. But yeah,
I do not blame you one bit. Not one bit. Because I feel like a lot of the half door options, while affordable, just look like trash.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, and I'm not, again, now that sounds like you're hating on companies there.
No, I'm just saying, they just don't look like, you can't put up just skinned half doors against the Mopar half doors. It just, there's no comparison. There's a huge price difference, but.
Yeah, I totally agree. But I mean, I think it's little things too for me. Like, I will lay underneath the Jeep and look at the double triangulated four link and just think, man, like that's a work of art, you know, that's beautiful. So those sorts of things get to me. And yes, the ORIs are gorgeous.
they really are. How many other people have those? I haven't seen anyone that's had that color.
I've actually not seen a lot in the silver. That's been pretty rare. I think I can think of one other person, maybe.
It looks but so yeah, good with the
it's green. not a common color. But with how long people have to wait for them, the black is the most commonly produced and readily available. So I get it from that standpoint. It's like, okay, we'll just go with black because you can get it a whole lot faster than waiting for the custom color.
Right, yeah. So speaking of laying under the Jeep and just looking at it, how many times have you been in the garage, nothing is going right, it's been a terrible day, and you're just like, fuck, I have made such a huge mistake right now?
Potentially on a near daily basis.
Do you ever look at it and you're like, I never should have fucking touched it?
All the time.
But yeah. Now you're at the point where it's running and driving. So that's got to be a little good.
It is. But I still feel that way. But part of it goes back to what we talked about earlier, is that the way that it has made me grow and the things that I have learned from it, I wouldn't trade that. So I don't regret it in that sense, but I do regret it in the sense that I had a perfectly functional, great working Jeep before. Then I just tore it to pieces. And so there's a little bit of regret in that. And plus I had, prior to me purchasing the JKU, I had 2 years of not driving a Jeep, and that made me sad. Yeah. I didn't like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I know the feeling.
So yeah, there is definitely regret associated with it. But there is, it's very 50-50, and that emotion can change really quickly.
Yeah.
And I will go back and forth between like this huge sense of pride and accomplishment, and then, you know, 5 minutes later, I'll be like, but I shouldn't have done it.
Right. So I've seen some of the test drive videos. I've seen you talking about it. What was it like that first time you hit the gas and the Jeep moved under its own power, where you could like not stop smiling, or what was that like?
Yeah, it was wild. It was truly wild. However, it came with a lot of fear too, because I knew that the brakes weren't working well at that point, because we had a vacuum leak that we found later. But it was, okay, well, I'm going to hit the gas, but I don't really know how well I'm going to stop.
Sounds so like my MJ.
So there was definitely nervousness.
Right.
And it was so loud, and there were so many rattles, and there was like, there were some terrible things going on, and the alternator was screaming, and the steering pump was screaming because it was still cavitating, and there were just all sorts of angry noises coming from it. But
happy and nervous at the same time.
Yes, it was very mixed emotions, but I was incredibly happy.
We were talking about regrets. And Kate, you said you do have one, not regret, but something you wish you would have done with the build.
Yes. So one of the things that I regret, but I also know in my mind why I chose not to do it, and it was something that was discussed at the very beginning, was documenting it on YouTube.
Yes.
And YouTube has just, I mean, it is huge. And I'm not, oddly enough, I am not a huge consumer of YouTube, but I know that people get 100% of their entertainment content from following YouTube channels and different builds or whatever people have going on.
Mm-hmm.
And so looking back, I regret not documenting it because I think that it could have helped people for one.
Absolutely.
Maybe it would have helped people understand and stop asking that question about why is your build taking so long? Because perhaps if I had shown more of the struggle, that would have been big.
Mm-hmm.
in helping people understand that part of it. But I know that I chose not to do it because when I took on a project, this kind of like, this is almost in line with the axle comment about why did I just buy axles instead of building my own?
Right.
But that I knew it was such a huge project that I was afraid of adding in that extra work of editing videos, or even if I was sending it out for someone else to edit,
to me,
that it was just, that is, well, see, I didn't even know that back then that you were doing, YouTube. Mm-hmm. Video production or whatever.
Right.
But yeah, I would have, I, you know, most people go probably find somebody on like Fiverr, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
To go edit their videos and create this content for them. Or some people are DIYing it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I was concerned about how much of a time suck that was going to be and whether or not that would further delay the entire build itself. And fundamentally, you have to be somebody that's ready to be in front of the camera.
Yes.
Unless you're just really going to be behind it all the time. And there are people out there that are like that. If anybody follows like AVE on YouTube, but I don't think anybody's ever seen that dude's face.
Right.
But he does all of his tool reviews and his tooling and cool things that he messes with or whatever. No idea what the guy looks like. But so you could take that tact. But if you're not comfortable being in front of the camera and doing all of that, then it's, you know, that I think that was probably what drove it.
Yeah. I think so. After, in just my opinion, I think after 6 months, you would have been like, yeah, no, fuck this.
Yeah.
It's just so,
yeah,
to set up the cameras, make sure everything going along with that, the recording, the batteries, all that shit, and also try and focus on what you're doing and building.
Yeah.
It's so fucking hard. Even me, I've done tons of shit to the MJ and there is zero video of it.
Yeah.
Because I just can't fucking process it.
Well, right. And if you're in a shop and you've got a vehicle up on a lift and mm-hmm. you can walk around and be like, here's this thing, this is what we're doing and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
That's fine. I'm embarrassed for the neighbors to walk by and see what it looks like on the inside of the garage. Half the time when I am doing a live video or whatever content for Instagram
mm-hmm.
or even taking a picture, we're sitting there saying like, oh, well, hold on. Let's move the jack. Let's move the jack stand. Let's sweep. Let's get all this stuff out of the photo. Right.
Right? Yeah.
And you're like trying to clean up because you don't want this explosion of mess in
right.
the picture.
Yeah.
But that's what would have been in the video.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, it's a regret. Do I think I could have done it? I don't know.
I think you made the right call.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a part of me that wants to start now,
mm-hmm.
but we'll see.
Well,
we'll see.
If you need help, I'm here for
you. All right. Well, now I know. I learned, me remembering that I wanted to talk about this just brought a whole new thing to my attention that I didn't know.
Exactly. Perfect. There we go. Let's talk about the gear and the tools, machining, whatever that you had to buy to do this. I'm assuming you already had somewhat of a garage full of tools.
Yes, I did. And I say I, but I mean, this project was not done by myself. And so like I would be, you know, in the doghouse if I didn't give a shout out to my friend
it.
Seth that has helped me with so much of this. So anyway, Seth, I know you'll listen to this later. Thank you. So a lot of the tools are owned by him because
okay.
he has a strong desire to just simply have tooling and do things and make cool stuff. Mm-hmm. So he hasn't spent as much money as I have in the build, but he spent a great deal of money just buying tooling that he wanted.
Okay.
But yes, I mean, it's been a lot of things, and it, you know, it's like I said, that we did a lot of it ourselves. And mm-hmm. so, you know, sure, if I needed a tube bent, I could probably find some guy somewhere that could go bend a tube for me, so we didn't have to buy a tubing bender. But right. you know, so we bought the tubing bender. You know, there it's countless consumables. We already had both a MIG and TIG welder, so those were available already. Okay. I think a drill press. I can't tell you how many times he has said that he wished that he had a lathe or a milling machine, but
right.
We don't even really have a 2-car garage. It's like a 1.5. I mean, you could right. fit two I've smart cars in it.
Yeah.
yeah. So the idea of being able to fit like a full machine shop in there is like, it's not happening.
yeah. I feel like everybody who's ever tried to build something at some point has gone, fuck, I need a lathe.
Right. Right. But luckily there are a lot of, Swag Off Road is a company that makes like a lot of kind of gadgets to be able to turn things that you have into something that's useful.
Right.
Like they have a thing so that you can turn your hydraulic press into a press brake.
Yes.
Or popular. They have, yeah, and they have the air over hydraulic kit that we have for the tubing bender is mm-hmm. the Swag Off-Road kit. So yep. lots of stuff like that. This has been super helpful for being able to turn small garage sized things into actual like useful equipment. That's been super handy for doing a lot of this.
Yeah, I bet. This build, is this your end all be all going back to you being very calculated, or is there stuff after this? Like, is there a point after this, or is this it?
I think this is it, but I say that, but there were also a lot of, it depends on how big you mean. I think this is my general end state, but mm-hmm. you know, if a year from now, after we've driven it and wheeled it, and I say, you know, I really think like full hydraulic steering is what makes more sense, there could be changes like that,
right.
but I have no intent to, you know, engine swap and then turn into a full buggy that's race spec.
Right.
That's not happening.
Yeah, that's kind of where I was going. The little stuff.
No.
I say little stuff like full hydraulic steering, but at this point in your build, I feel like that switch from assist to full is a quote little thing in your build.
Yes.
Okay. So,
yeah.
no motor swaps, no full tube back half, nothing crazy like that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's already back half, so that's part of the problem is we sort of did this weird halfway mark of getting kind of to it being a buggy, but not really. And
right.
that's a very awkward stage. And so I don't think we have, unless something horrendous goes wrong, which I really hope it doesn't, mm-hmm. I don't think there's any intent to move past that.
Okay. Where's the first place? Where's going to be your shakedown run?
Roush for sure.
Roush.
Up in PA. Yeah.
Hell yes. What about big trips, bucket list?
Oh man,
where's that Jeep going?
Oh man, everywhere. I really want to take like a year off and just wheel and travel. But it's weird. It's the nostalgia for going back to the places that we've been to before, like
right.
South Dakota and Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
That is my strongest pull right now, because it made such impactful memories. And so the wheeling that we did in Colorado, it wasn't hard, and
mm-hmm.
you don't need this Jeep to do it.
Right.
So it's a little bit silly to be like, man, I can't wait to go do these things. And it has nothing to do with the capability of the Jeep. It's just that I want to go back and have that memory and those experiences. And the wheeling in South Dakota was super gnarly in some spots.
Mm-hmm.
That would be an awesome trip to take the Jeep out there. But I'll give a shout out to Jeff Perkins. Every time he posts pictures of wheeling at Burris Valley Ranch in Oklahoma,
uh-huh.
I'm like, man, that place is somewhere I want to go.
Yeah.
So I'd love to have my Jeep there. He says to expect body damage, so that makes me a little nervous.
Oh, that is a good thing we can talk about. What's your feelings on that? Because Jeep is built to basically do anything.
I'm not a fan of body damage. And it's funny because I – I posted something to social media not too long ago that we actually got a rock chip in the paint on the corner armor. And I was really upset about it. We really don't know. Well, I say it's a rock chip, but the reality is I have no idea. I do not know what happened.
Right.
We just have a chip of missing paint on the corner armor. Ugh. So yeah, talk about like just a punch in the gut. But the amount of replies I got to that from people that said, oh, it's not going to matter. You're going to drag that down a rock. Like, that's going to be dimpled and crushed in no time. I'm like, wait a minute. Do you even know me? I like to go hard in my Jeep, mm-hmm. but I would so much rather back off of a line and pick a better line and not get body damage.
Right.
So
and just to drag it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just not that kind of a wheeler. I am slow and methodical. Hey, it's kind of like building my Jeep. It's very much the same. Like I'm not the send it type. Mm-hmm. I just would much rather do technical crawling. And if it looks like I'm going to wreck something, then, you know, back off and do it a little bit different.
Right.
I don't want body damage.
Yeah. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. Especially with all the time and money you've put into it. That's, I think,
what
people like me, people in my economic status, might say is that you spent too much money on it to be bashing it around.
Yeah.
I feel like.
Well, and I have those emotions too where I look at it and I'm like, well, I don't want to wheel it. You know, I'm.
Right.
But I know that's what it was built for.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of the people that say, oh, well, you're just going to bang it up anyway, are the smashed trash can people, the leaf spring people, my people.
Well, but it doesn't even have to be those people. I mean, I think that there's just the general concept that it's not yours, right? So obviously it's very easy for them to go say like, oh, well, yeah, just go bash it. Would they do that to them? They'd probably be like, oh, I'm not going to do that line. That looks too hard.
Right.
But they're going to be like, no, you can do it. Go like full throttle, send it.
So speaking of social media, we're going to dive a little bit into that. This is the time to toot your own horn. What does Instagram following look like these days, Miss Kate?
It's you know, it's modest.
It's modest. Go ahead. What's the number?
12,800 and change.
12,800. Yes. And you, me, and what was his name? One Ton Jeeps. Joey.
Yeah, Joey.
We were right before 10K, and we're all having a little competition. I think Joey hit it. You hit it. Then I hit it.
Nope, you were before me.
I was before.
I was last place.
Yes. Well, third place, you could say third place.
Okay.
So when did you start documenting Jeep things on Instagram? Did you have an Instagram prior to the Jeep life?
I don't think I did. If I did, it may have been like one photo of my dog at some point in time. And so I really did not start using it until I used it for the Jeep stuff.
Okay. Did you find that people were interested in the account right away? Because you kind of started building relatively fast, you said within like 8 months.
Yeah, okay, but I don't think I started my Instagram at the time that I bought my Jeep.
Okay.
So this is a little bit how it went. I vaguely recall that I used it very casually, occasionally posting a picture with I knew nothing. I didn't know how to use hashtags. I didn't know what it was about.
Right.
I way overdid filters. So it was
all?
it was no good. It was not great quality stuff. It would not be producing great content. And then I think it was sometime in 2016, and I'm not going to name any names here, but I was talking to somebody and said, hey, you know, would I ever be someone that would get a potential sponsorship?
Uh-huh.
And they said, no, you don't have the momentum and the social media mass to be able to do that. And I said to myself, oh, well, I can change that.
There you go.
And I think I want to say that was about like mid 2016. And that's when I really started working on it and trying to turn it into something. And And then I did.
So instead of crying about it, you actually did something about it to fix it. Oh my God, that's fucking ridiculous. Imagine that.
And I didn't go out and buy 10,000 followers.
Right.
Instead, I worked for them.
Exactly. So was there a point where the account really took off? Because I know I've seen you in the Explore page like randomly a bunch of times.
It did. At least 5 times. And yeah, so like social media, I mean, you know, it's a black box a little mm-hmm. bit. You can be somebody that has more insights and you can try to do a lot of research on that. Mm-hmm. And yeah, there was a time in, I think it was in late 2016 and then heading into early 2017 where it really took off. And I was at a pace of gaining 1,000 followers a month. Mm. And it was nuts. And that's organic. That is just hashtags, posting photos. That was not me buying or paying for anything to make that happen.
Right.
And so it was just, it was phenomenal. I couldn't even believe it. I loved it. And then I want to say it was just sort of around, I don't know, June of 2017, it literally came to a screeching halt. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what changed. I know the algorithms and everything change frequently. And so right. sometimes there requires toggling to try to get back into the game or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But it never recovered.
Yeah.
And so I see people's accounts continue to grow and they have a lot of success. And for me, it's just been a struggle. And so you probably saw me in Explorer back in those times. And after that, it's just really never, it really never recovered. And, you know, I see people shut down their Instagrams and start new ones all the time because they think something happens.
Right.
And I checked all of that shadow banning bullshit and it wasn't that and yeah. whatever. So I was just like, well, yeah, it just is.
Right. I think there's been something going on because I've been stuck at the same number. It's been like 3 or 4 months now. I don't know what's going on, but I don't actually care enough to like look into the shadow banning stuff. I'm just like, whatever.
I guess
it'll come back. Maybe.
Yeah, I guess my feeling on it was that I got what I wanted out of it.
Right.
Sure. Would I love to have twice as many followers as some of the people out there? Mm-hmm. Sure. But, you know, what am I really chasing after at that point? Is it because I want more sponsorships? You know, I'm not trying to do that. So I don't know what I would necessarily really want to gain if I were wanting more followers. But,
right.
you know.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit strategy. Is there anything special that you do? Like, do you post at certain times? Do you do video, photo? Let's get a little bit nerdy.
Yeah, no, I don't. And maybe that's my problem. So I did at a certain point in time. And I was, I mean, if we're talking about back when I was really growing and being successful, I was posting 3 times a day, mm-hmm. which is a lot.
It is.
And, but it seemed to work then. And it was all photos. And I think this was really before video posting got super popular.
Mm-hmm.
But one of my struggles with video posting, so this is back before COVID-19, was that if I'm sitting in the office place and I'm scrolling through Instagram because I'm on a 5-minute break or something,
mm-hmm.
I'm not going to watch a video because it requires sound.
Right.
So, and I'm trying to be private about what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. So I was never, so because I never had an interest in videos, I never used videos,
mm-hmm.
if that makes any sense.
Right.
So that was just, man, maybe that was a flaw or a problem. So yeah, I never really used strategies. I stopped paying attention to post times. I don't know. Maybe this is why I suck at this.
Sucking. It was not the word that I would use at all. You've done very well. And I just want to add a little bit of clarity in for the people that are listening to the podcast that this is something that Kate and I talk about on a frequent basis, like the social media stuff. So if you're like, oh, this is an off-road podcast. What the fuck are you talking about social media for? Who gives a fuck? Just shut up and listen to the podcast, guys. Jeez.
Well, I know maybe they could learn a thing or two.
Exactly. Exactly. I can learn something.
Right, because those same people are getting shit on it and be like, why can't I get a sponsorship?
Exactly. Exactly. Sponsorships. do you use any apps or tools for Instagram?
Like, nope, I don't.
Just straight through the app.
Yes, I do. And I don't even have a pre-written hashtag list. I do all those manuals. I do.
Oh my God, you have the thumb strength of a gorilla. That's insanity.
Yeah, it's crazy. And apparently, weird people.
Maybe that's why I'm shadow banned, because I copy and post them. That's too funny.
Yeah. Well, I think, and part of it too, is ever since I started the build, mm-hmm. instead of really focusing on trying to do something intentional that was going to be attention grabbing, I focused more on documenting the build.
You really have. And I
and some
love
people
that.
Don't like that. And people don't read it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's there for me.
Yeah. What do you think the value added is for using Instagram if you're in this Jeep community, Jeep space?
Huge value added in social media is meeting people and making your online friends, because for sure those online friendships can become true friendships. And one of the things that I always took a lot of pride in was knowing that I had made connections all over the country, and that if tomorrow I wanted to call up Patrick in Alaska and be like, dude, I want to come wheel with you, he'd be like, awesome, come on.
Ooh, Patrick,
you know,
Rowe.
So yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So I think that that's a major, major advantage of social media is just connections. Yeah, so that part I love. And certainly if you are somebody that, and I'm not trying to dog on sponsorships either. I know I've said it a couple times now, and I've been a little bit. Yeah. But certainly if that's something that you want in your future, if you want to be known, then yeah, use social media and put out quality content and start playing with that. And Instagram is a really easy one to get into.
Very much so.
As far as I understand from what I've, the minimal reading and research that I've done, Facebook is a bit more tricky.
Yes.
And YouTube is a whole other animal that I have really not dealt with. So, so yeah, I mean, I think that there's huge benefits to it. And it's even just the very basic concept of what Instagram was supposed to be from the very beginning was just an online photo book for you and your friends.
Right.
So, and so for the people that are upset that they're like, oh, I can't gain this following or I can't get sponsored, you were supposed to be doing it from the beginning for fun. And
right.
People need to remember that too.
do it for the right reasons in the beginning.
Yeah.
Do you think that social media in general has done more harm or more good to the off-road community specifically?
I think it's to the industry. I think that it has done good, mm-hmm. for sure. It is a major, major marketing tool that is free to use,
exactly, yep.
for the most part, mm-hmm. Unless you start getting into the pay-to-play part. But
right.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of reaching people and putting your products and so that's from that side. Is in terms of how the industry itself is affected by social media, I think there is some negativity that comes from that, but I think in the end the benefit way outweighs it.
Okay. Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. Do you think that social should play as large of a role as it does in the industry side of things? Do you think that a person's social media account should have as much weight as it does in the industry side of things, not like the you and I just regular wheelers?
I think that the pure number is not as relevant as the content and interaction, because as you and I both know, that number can be completely fake.
Yep.
So, you know, and I think companies are getting clued in. I want to say like a year or more ago, mm-hmm. companies seem to be out to lunch when it came to whether or not a person could have a real or a fake following.
Right.
And they would just look at a number and be like, wow, man, like, oh, $100,000. I'm all about that. And they've got like 3 likes on their photos.
Right.
But, you know, and that's bad on them. You know, learn to do research and understand who these people are that are asking to be involved with your company.
Right.
So it's a whole lot more than just about a number, mm-hmm. in my opinion. So,
yeah. I definitely agree. And they have been getting smarter. I definitely, you and I talked about this when, Social Blade was super popular, where you could see
yes.
a spike in people's numbers.
Oh, I miss that site.
Jeff sent me a screenshot. Apparently it's working again.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting.
I completely forgot until right now. I meant to go. There was somebody that I was going to check out. Somebody I'm gunning for. I know they're full.
Well, see, I think that it still provides data on people that are registered business profiles, but I don't think, at least this is the last time I checked, which was fairly recently. If you're like a regular human, you're not a business or what, one of the people that have a little blue check marks or whatever, that it doesn't actually work anymore.
Well, half of these people are saying they're businesses by saying that they're influencers or. You get a little more tools, a little more insights if you use the account, like register it as a business account. So, I don't know. That's good. Yep. I'll have to look that up. We're going to move pace a little bit here. You are a female who's doing amazing things in this industry. Amazing things. And you and I have talked about this before. I severely despise the whole Jeep girl thing.
Yep.
I feel it brings no value other than for guys to oogle and Google over somebody. That's why I'm having you on this podcast. I fucking respect you.
Oh, thank you.
I love what you're doing. But this is something that I want to talk about because there, with the JL and the Gladiator coming out, there's a lot more people getting into the scene. There's a lot more young females that are getting into these Jeeps. And I just want to try to do everybody a service here and talk about what's been your experience in this community that's mainly dominated by males.
Yeah, so I have to be really careful in how I choose my words here because unfortunately, we're at a time when people are hypersensitive to things that people say.
Right.
So a lot of times if a woman is speaking on how she feels about other women, you don't support other women. And that's not the case. Mm-hmm. So I want to put that to bed. That's not true. And you know, I think also having been someone that has been in predominantly male things my whole life, it's how many women are aerospace engineers? There aren't that many. Mm-hmm. I have never, this is hard. I'm not really a feminist. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be recognized as being a woman in engineering. I just want to be respected as an engineer.
Right.
Just like I don't want to be a Jeep girl. Mm-hmm. I want to be respected as a Jeeper, equal to everyone else. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we're putting that out on the table.
Right.
In terms of how the Jeep girl thing and the women that do put themselves out there potentially like in a sexual way. You know, I think it's just different. It's not the same as someone posting about wheeling or wrenching. Mm-hmm. Perhaps they're just seeking something else from that. But I think that plays into that conversation that we were having about what does the industry do with that information?
Right.
And the industry needs to decide whether or not they think that's effective marketing or not. And if they do, you know, that's their choice. And maybe that's not what I would pick, but they may choose that person is going to sell more products than somebody that's out there wheeling and wrenching.
Right.
So sort of, I'm trying to be very politically correct in how I answer the question.
No, I completely understand.
You know, like, do I love all of the half-naked chicks standing in front of their Jeeps? It's not my favorite thing, if I'm being honest. But, you know, if they're proud of themselves, then whatever. But I do hate that is my competition when it comes to trying to get attention from a company.
Right.
Because a lot of these companies are predominantly male-owned. Mm-hmm. And so that, you know... You'd be lying if you said that wasn't a factor.
Right. I feel like that's it. You're talking about effective marketing strategy. I think it's been proven over the last however long marketing has existed that's an effective strategy.
Yeah,
it's
just sex sells.
It's a matter of if the company wants to advertise in that manner.
Yep, absolutely.
You touched on it very briefly at the beginning. There was a post I saw on Twitter that said something to the effect of the people that are the meanest to women are other women. Is that something you've experienced
absolutely.
In work and in Jeeps? Would you say that's both?
Not at work. Well, no, I take that back. Yeah, I think that that's true, because I think that it has almost seemed more competitive to me. Mm-hmm. I never feel like I am competing on a day-to-day basis against other men in the Jeep world or at work. Mm-hmm. There's not like this, you know, clawing to get to the top sort of mentality. Right. And yet I feel like that I get that impression from other women where it's like that. And a lot of the support that I feel like I see from other women is very superficial. Mm-hmm. And on the one hand, they will compliment each other when it's all out in public, and then they'll be shooting DMs to one another with catty remarks, you know, the next minute. So definitely mean girls. And it's just, I think I'm generally just like a guy's girl, and that's probably why I've just stayed away from a lot of those sorts of interactions, because it's just, it can be very catty.
Right. So that's all like terrible things that are happening. Is there anything that you would say to the younger, or I guess doesn't have to be younger, to the females that might be listening to this to help combat this? And second part to that, is there anything that us stupid boys can do that would help fix that?
I mean, I'd love to sit here and say, like, dudes, you know, just think with the correct head and save that stuff for Pornhub or whatever else. Like, it doesn't need to be in the Jeep world, so right. Just like, you know, take it somewhere else. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, like, I guess maybe I'd say that, but I think it comes down to respect. So if you can respect yourself, if you are a woman and you are looking to be successful in social media and you are trying to decide whether, you know, you want to go down that path of putting yourself out there, or you're going to go a different direction. If you respect yourself at the end of the day, then I guess that is all that matters. Mm-hmm. And some people are not going to like it. And, you know, I had plenty of people tell me that I had a dude tell me that I was not going to be successful in social media unless I got a boob job.
Wow.
Flat out told me that.
Wow.
So yeah. And I remember they sent me profiles of particular other Jeep girls and said, and they told me, you really need to put yourself out there like that if you think you're going to get anywhere.
What?
Yeah. So, you know, I'm,
well,
that,
behalf,
that was that dude's
on behalf
opinion.
Of the guys, I apologize. That's fucking shitty. Wow.
Yeah. So I was a little mad.
Oh, I bet. I would be fucking pissed.
Right.
Fucking inappropriate.
So, right. It was very uncool. Jeez. But yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, you have to be happy and proud and respect yourself for what you've chosen to do.
Right.
And also think about what yourself 20 years from now is going to think of that person and what you put out on the internet.
Right.
You know, I work the type of job where they're going to look at what I'm doing on my social media. And
exactly.
Maybe if you're 18 years old and or 20 or whatever it is, and you're not thinking about what your job is going to think of you, you know, hanging half naked over your Jeep, you know, that may not always be the case. Like, someone someday might say, like, oh, it's not like the person I want to hire.
Right.
So, you know, you just have to think about the future as well, I think.
Yeah. I like what you said, as long as at the end of the day you respect yourself, because it's different strokes for different folks. If that's the way you want to do it, fine with me. But
yep.
Like what you said, you at the end of the day, you got to go to sleep with you. So
yeah. And if you're upset that some company gave a sponsorship to the half-naked girl and not to you, then maybe you should ask yourself whether or not you want to represent that company.
Right.
And
yeah.
You know, if that's their marketing technique, then you weren't a good fit for that company, and you're better off with somebody else. So don't beat yourself up because they picked something else.
Right.
Just, you know, there's plenty of manufacturers out there, and you'll find the company that is respectful and is to you and sees your benefits for who you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How much of this, you and I have talked about this, people saying like, oh, when's the Jeep going to be done? Or just like stupid fucking ignorant comments. how much of that is like hard to deal with? Because you and I both have experienced this where it's that one little comment that just sets you the fuck off.
It's hard. And a lot of it is sort of in how it's phrased. Mm-hmm. But even if I got 100 nice questions asking me when it's going to be done, mm-hmm. it's still at some point it's going to be like, oh my God, really, guys, you're still going to ask me this.
Right.
So yeah, it gets under my skin for sure. Mm-hmm. There have been plenty that were not friendly either.
Right. It blows my mind that someone is so unhappy that they have to go and spew fucking dumb shit on somebody else's. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think that speaks more about them, who they are as a person.
Yeah.
Just fucking unhappy.
For sure.
I feel like we could go on way longer. We're about an hour right now. We could go into the deep, dark corners of sponsorships and the screenshots that we have that are many and plentiful of the most ridiculous things.
You know, honestly, they've gotten better lately. So, you know, if we want to talk about that, I will be the first to say, like, I am pleasantly surprised that it has been a long time since I have seen a "yo, bro, will you sponsor me" type of email. So, like, I don't know if maybe it's worked. Maybe all of that information that you've put out there, maybe people are finally getting clued in.
Maybe all this shit talking I've done on the internet. Well, a lot of people who get those type of emails make those posts saying, "Yo, fucking shut the fuck up." It might be working.
Yeah, I truly hope it is. I hope people have gotten a clue because there was a period of time there where it was special. Now, I will admit, those gave me a fantastic laugh.
Oh, definitely.
So, you know,
those were my favorite days.
I do miss that.
When you send me a message, be like, "Oh my gosh, somebody sent me this. You have to read this."
Yes. Yeah. So it's pretty special.
Yeah. Anything else you wanted to go over regarding the Jeep?
Not that I can think of.
If you could give young Kate advice on getting into the Jeep world and building a Jeep, what would it be?
Oh boy. I think my advice would be to not do it any differently than I did, and to have patience, and to take your financial situation seriously and consider that when you're deciding to get into this life, only if you're considering modifying it. But in retrospect, thinking about all of it and how I so desperately wanted one when I was 16 and how there were many times in my life where I could have chosen that path of getting the Wrangler and I went a different direction, I'm glad that I didn't, because I don't think that I was financially prepared at the time to do what I ended up doing. And I'm glad that I did it now and not way back then, because I think that I could have potentially really been upset and unhappy with the process.
Right. You think you would have gone down a different path of maybe not so calculated and careful?
Yeah, I think so. Or perhaps like not making smart choices, I guess. And I think I wish I could say buy once, cry once with some things, but I definitely did not do that with a lot of stuff. I mean, I think on the two-door, I went through 4 different front bumpers before I got to where I was.
Oh, nice.
But yeah, so, you know, I think I believe that you can build on a budget. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I'm not saying that you have to be financially well off in order to own a Jeep. I'm not saying that in any way. Right. I'm just saying to take that in consideration and base your desires of what you want to do with something on that and not try to get carried away.
Right.
It is appalling to me. I'm quite shocked when I see people who are quite young and have Jeeps that are more built than mine. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, like, I can't imagine doing that at that age, nor do I think I was responsible enough to be able to do that at that age.
I'm not responsible enough at this age.
Yeah. So, you know, and by the way, none of the decisions that I've made are financially responsible now.
So, I guess that's a good point.
Yeah. So I guess, you know, for me personally and myself, I guess I would just say, I wouldn't have done it any differently. And I don't know that I would have had any real advice for myself. I'm fully happy with how it went.
Good.
And
so,
you know,
go with your gut is the main takeaway.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. For sure. And don't feel like you need to keep up with the Instagram Joneses, because mm-hmm. that's just ridiculous.
That always ends in tears.
Yeah. Well, I'm changing subjects on you, but you mentioned at the beginning that that you had completely forgotten about the other Jeep. So were there other questions related to that?
There wasn't, but I'll come up with some real quick. Okay. So why did you buy a second Jeep?
You know, so it was a little bit spur of the moment, but not really. I think that for sure there was that sadness about not having a Jeep to drive for so long. Mm-hmm. And then also, gosh, I don't know. Now I'm starting to think about why did I do it? But
did you,
I always,
truck? Do you still have the truck?
I still have a truck.
Okay.
Yeah. So you pretty full drive, right?
Yeah. I was going to say, geez.
Yeah. We're those people in the neighborhood that everybody gives a side eye to, right? Because we've got this insanely loud Jeep. We've got trailers parked. We've got, you know, at least we don't have beer cans on the lawn,
right,
you know, but
yeah.
At any given moment, there's a vehicle that doesn't start and doesn't run.
You're
you
those
know,
people in your neighborhood.
We are, but we're in an HOA. So as long as we try to keep it like looking somewhat nice, nobody says anything. But yeah, there was a person for a long period of time that was just like not happy with us. So we got quite a lot of flack. Yeah. So, but
so
yeah,
is that just going to be a daily driver? Is that what you're driving to and from work? I see you've done a little bit of work to it.
I have. It is not going to be a daily. So I'll go back to what my thought process was on this whole thing. So the four-door was driven by wanting something that had more interior space.
Okay.
But was still a Jeep. Mm-hmm. B, I sort of wanted a companion vehicle because we knew that we were eventually going to finish the two-door, mm-hmm. and we wanted to be able to have shakedown runs where we were not depending on other people going. And as you know, if you go to Roush or Anthracite, you have to have two vehicles.
Right.
So it's not like we can just take the JK up to Roush and be like, all right, well, we're going to wheel it. Mm-hmm. We really needed a buddy vehicle,
right.
and we didn't really have that. So having a second one, it also makes Seth and I completely free of having to find other people for trips as well. So if we just want to go on an adventure, you know, you're not depending on other people. And certainly I'm sure I can find people to show up for stuff. You know, I made the comment about how I could find anybody all over the country, but
right.
there is a little bit of, you know, niceness about like, oh, well, you know, we can just go do this thing and we don't have to pre-plan and,
right.
and find people and make a big deal out of it. So,
so
there was
vehicle.
That. Yeah. Basically it was sort of going to be a chase vehicle. So in that train of thought, I want it to, in many ways, be as close to as capable as possible.
Right.
So I do intend for it to be on 1-ton axles and 40s.
Oh, wow.
But yes.
That was surprising. I was not expecting that.
You're not expecting that.
Not at all.
Yeah. In some instances, we might try to have some commonality of parts.
Okay.
That way you're only carrying like one extra spare for stuff or, mm-hmm. or whatever.
Right.
But that way, you know, they would be somewhat capable together, mm-hmm. and they'd be able to do the same sorts of things. So there's no huge rush to build that one, you know, and there are some absolutely sick four-door builds out there. And
right.
there was a part of me that was like a little bit jealous, like, man, like I am a two-door purist, like at heart.
Right. Yeah.
I am two-door gang. Like that is that is what I believe in. But yeah, there are some sick JKUs and I just really I wanted that as well. And you know, I figured that it I was going to keep it a little bit simpler. Mm-hmm. It was, I don't have any intent for it to be a crazy custom project. Right. And I think a lot of that is taking lessons learned from the Tudor and saying, okay, well, this took 2.5 years. I don't want to do that. And right. So, you know, I think that one will probably have more off the shelf parts, mm-hmm. Things that come in kits and whatnot, just so that it's a little bit less crazy.
Right, not towing the custom line so much.
Yeah. Yeah. And I want to keep fabrication to a minimum.
Right. Because that adds, looking at my watch here, 2 hours, or not 2 hours, two years.
Yeah, right, yeah. Yeah, we'll be in trouble if we're waiting on that one to be ready to wheel, because... Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, so that's sort of it. But I also do want to keep that one, you know, I'm going to, there's big quotation marks going on over here, but street legal.
Right.
Because I do want to be able to drive that one around, which is, the two-door is... In Maryland, it is cop bait. There are so many things about that. You know, we're a big fender law state here. And so that thing's going to drive down the road and I'm going to see the flashing lights in about, you know, 0.1 seconds.
Yeah,
so
you will not make it far.
No, I won't. So yeah, the goal is to keep the four-door a little bit more street friendly so that I can hopefully drive it around. Right. And not get pulled over.
That's always the goal.
Yep.
Is there anything else that you thought of other than the Jeep that
no.
I forgot?
Yeah, that was it.
All right. Well, thank you again, Kate. It has been an absolute pleasure. And I want to say this again. I don't say this very often, and I only say this about select people. I fuck with you. And that's why I wanted to have you on this podcast. I like what you're doing. I like how you carry yourself as a human being. I like how you treat other people. I just, you're a fucking good person, and I wanted to expose you to my podcast base for that reason. So
awesome.
Thank you again. I appreciate it. Hopefully we can do this again on location.
Yes,
if we ever go wheeling together. That would make me very happy.
And I would prefer to not have to wear masks either. So, you know, hopefully we'll get past that as well, and then we'll go like,
oh, don't even get me started. I've had like 3 races be canceled. I can't do anything. It's the fucking worst.
Yeah, I know. But. I just want to go be in nature and wheel, man.
Yeah, exactly. All right, guys. Thank you again for listening. Kate Atkinson. Go check out her social. Kate, what is your social? I forgot to ask you that.
Psycho Cupcake 4x4.
Yes, and that is on Instagram, on Facebook. Do you have a page for the build, or is it just your personal
account? Nope, that is it.
That is it. There you go. All right, guys and gals, check out Kate. Like I said, I give her the stamp of approval, the I fuck with you approval. So if you have any issues with Kate, come blame me. I doubt you will, though. All right, guys, thank you so much for listening. And I don't know what the next episode is going to be or where it's going to be or who it's going to be with, but I promise you it will be mediocre. Enjoy, guys.